This segment is sponsored by Chicagoland Roofing Council. Hey, Chicago, if your commercial business needs a new roof or has persistent leaks, call a Chicagoland Roofing Council roofing and waterproofing contractor whose service technicians all complete a 5-year apprenticeship training program. Learn more about keeping your business dry at chicagoroofing.org.
104.3 The Score is Chicago's number one sports station and exclusive radio home for Super Bowl 60, Patriots versus Seahawks. Listen live Super Bowl Sunday. Our coverage starts at 1 p.m., kickoff at 5:30 on The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. WSCR, WSCR-FM, HD1 and HD2 Chicago, an Odyssey sports station. The Score! Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
I haven't watched the whole game, but from what I see and what I've seen so far is that, like, there's no knock for, like, the guys on the team, and I'm not trying to say this in a crass way, but you need, like, a star. Like, you need a superstar to come change certain things. Mm. I don't know where you get that. I don't know if you drive for that. I don't know if you trade for that. But whenever you have a team like this and it's, like, they're stagnant, and like they're trying to figure out who's going to take the lead and they're trying to find an identity, normally a star fix those problems.
How are your knees feeling? Maybe.
It's Derrick Rose on with Mully and Haw talking about the Bulls and some of their issues, and apparently Derrick was ahead of the game because now the Bulls have made a couple of trades that are intriguing to see what it means for the right now and what it means for the future. Vooch has been traded to the Boston Celtics, and in that trade, the Bulls got Anfernee Simons, plus there was a second-round pick swap happened.
And the second-round pick swap is a big deal, because as we've learned, the Celtics get what will be the Denver Nuggets' second-round pick. The Bulls get the best of four different second-round picks that the Celtics had, one of which is the New Orleans Pelicans. So that's likely to be a very, very high second-round pick, which is essentially like a low one in a lot of ways.
So then the Pistons, Timberwolves, and Bulls made a three-way trade, and so Kevin Huerter no longer plays for the Bulls. The Bulls got back Mike Conley Jr., and Jaden Ivey. They also traded Dario Saric, who they had traded for a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm upset. We had a whole thing, and now we don't get to do it.
So the Bulls had now have Anfernee Simons and Jaden Ivey. Anfernee Simons is, how old is he? I think he's 26, drafted straight out of high school.
He's played a lot of NBA minutes. I think he's played like 400-something games in the league. He came in very young in the league. He's a really good shooter from behind the arc, and so is Jaden Ivey when healthy. The thing with Jaden Ivey is, does he have the explosion that his game used to have before multiple serious leg injuries?
He doesn't. Jaden Ivey right now is a shell of his former self in terms of the burst and the explosion, like that step to get through. He's basically a spot-up shooter now. He's a spot-up shooter and has been really good shooting from three for Detroit, but he's not playing a lot. He's got the lowest totals of his career in minutes, points, assists, and rebounds. You know, I read this. Can I just share this with you from the Pistons-powered blog here? Okay. Jaden Ivey's been a spot-up shooter, but this guy writes of the Pistons-powered blog, quote, "I'm at the point where I cringe every time Jaden Ivey puts the ball on the floor. And for good reason, he's averaging almost an even assist-to-turnover ratio this season. Even though he's not being asked to create at all, Ivy still has the bad habit of dribbling right into the teeth of the defense without a plan of what he's going to do when he gets there, which often leads to difficult passes or Ivy just coughing it up. He's 1.6 assists per game to 1.1 turnovers per game right now. So he's still trying to be what he was, but he can't physically be what he was."
His entire profile as a player is different than what it was coming out of school. Because coming out of school, you were thinking that this is going to be someone's point guard or combo lead guard, whatever you want to call it. But now it's like you can survive in the NBA for a long time if you can make three-pointers at 38, 39%. But you also have to guard, and he is 6'3". And if he's not putting the – like, when you start thinking about the combinations that are on the floor for the Bulls,
you
go, wait, who's going to stop anyone? Like, I worry about that.
Yeah, understood. Anthony Simons is way more exciting right now because the Celtics picked him up, and Celtics fans and Celtics media thought he was just going to be trade bait and was going to be moved right now like he has been. But he's ended up being really, really good. Like, defensively, way better than expected. And this is a dude who can score. He put up 39 in a game 2 weeks ago for the Celtics. He had a couple games where he scored 40-plus for Portland. He's an explosive scorer at multiple levels of a defense. He can shoot, but he can also drive and create with the ball in his hands. And apparently, like I said, he's been way better on defense than expected. He's on an expiring contract.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bulls could re-sign him. Jaden Ivey is finishing out his rookie deal, so they would have to re-sign him as a restricted free agent. So they have choices to make on both of the guys they just picked up.
And you're also wondering, is all of this setting up something bigger?
Right.
Something else that the Bulls might want to do over the next 48 hours to maybe give themselves an opportunity for a star. Do you allow yourself as a Bulls fan to dream about it being Giannis, for example, that whereas a couple of days ago, the Bulls didn't really have, I think, the draft profile that is going, or the contract profile to allow you to get Giannis.
Do they now?
I think they're in a much better position to make a move than they were. And now it's just a matter of, is your move going to be better than, because Minnesota clearly made space and got below the first apron so they can give themselves some relief, or that they can go and make a trade. And they're one of the teams that is mentioned as a serious contender for Giannis. I don't know that the Bulls have moved into that space yet. I haven't seen anyone outside of people in Chicago speculating on that yet, but we'll see.
This is how it happens in the NBA, is that a star will decide he's done somewhere. Like Giannis, I think, has decided in Milwaukee. And then he will tell his team where he'd like to go. And they
can you make it happen?
And they work to see if they can make it happen.
Here are the list of places that I am okay with being moved to.
Sometimes it's super loud and overt, and you watch it happen with certain players, and you can think of how many times you've seen that.
Sometimes a guy puts on a fat suit.
Right, exactly. Or you remember Carmelo wanted to be a Knick, and we waited for like a year for Denver to consummate that, right? There's lots of other examples. Sometimes a dude is trying to maintain a good profile and doesn't do it overtly, but behind the scenes has told a team where he wants to go, and then you see another team making all these moves. What are they doing? This has that feel. I don't know if it's happening. We're all reaching out to people to kind of poke around, but if you were to tell me that Giannis Antetokounmpo told Milwaukee he wants to come to Chicago, and now AK is all of a sudden making all these moves with players he has sworn not to trade, like Vooch, you know, to arrange to get more assets and expiring deals or different kinds of contracts. Like, maybe Milwaukee likes Jaden Ivey. Maybe Milwaukee likes Anthony Simons. And maybe they can say, ooh, that high second round pick, that now you're telling me something here. Now you're getting a little closer to where I need to be. This stuff happens in the NBA. It's why we follow it like this, is it's a crazy ass league. If you told me that's what's happening, there's part of me that goes, huh, interesting. I will keep paying attention to this. That's where I am on this right now.
But there's another thing that you wanted to talk about that I think is worthy of us discussing. And if there's any more Bulls news, we'll get into it. It's you. That the simplicity of the argument of you just need a star doesn't sit well with you. Why not?
Because I just watched Luka Doncic, and we talked about it yesterday, and that is a kind of star, a superstar, that sometimes you can end up questioning and saying, does he actually put me closer to winning a title? And we had some of that conversation, and we can. But there's more. There's a lot of stars that you've been able to say recently, I don't think that guy actually gets you closer. Trae Young. All Bulls fans were out on the idea of Trae Young.
I don't.
Yeah, maybe you don't think of him as a star anymore.
I don't.
Okay. All right. I mean, there's a bunch of dudes out there. James Harden is holding up the Clippers to make them deal him after the last two games sitting out for personal reasons. This dude was part of a 6-21 start, and now they have flipped it and are playing their ass off and have found something, and suddenly he's not happy.
They found a healthy Kawhi who is motivated for some unknown reason.
But all of a sudden, James Harden is like, what? My contract is only up after 1 year. Now he's being James Harden, and he's in the midst of engineering a trade for the fifth time in his NBA career. This news broke last night that the Clippers and Cleveland are pretty far along in doing this. Cleveland, you're going to sign up for this thing and maybe even extend him in this moment? They'd have to give up Darius Garland to do it. Tom Ziller over at Good Morning, It's Basketball. TeamZiller.com. He's like my favorite dude to read about the NBA from. And he wrote it up. I woke up and I was feeling all these feelings on James Harden, and then he wrote it. Like, he had written it. I'm like, man, there it is. There it is. I emailed him. I don't even know if he does radio hits, but I asked him because he just nails it all the time. But like, James Harden made this ugliness happen and is now trying to get away from it. It's just so freaking loathsome. So there's another example of a star. I don't want that dude. I don't want to build around that dude. And right now he's 36.
Yeah, I don't know if you can build around. I
can't do it anymore, probably.
I also think that with Harden in particular, because of his style where he's really effective, depending on what team he goes to, he's not a fit in a lot of places. He's ball dominant. He will drain the shot clock on you. He will get his shots, and he will also get to the foul line. Those are all things that he can do. But then you add in that maybe not always the best teammate, and because of how he is effective as a scorer, and he's one of the most effective scorers in the history of the league.
Absolutely.
But you have to be committed to changing the way that your offense plays, unless you've convinced James that he can do some of the stuff that you're talking about where, hey, you're still a really good shooter. We know that you can, if there is an isolation possession that we need, we know that you can get it.
Yeah.
But we got to take you off the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that he's willing to do that.
No, he's not. We've seen it again and again and again when his guy Daryl Morey went out and made it happen to get him again. And then he pulled a hissy fit and left there. Now he's doing it again. And we know that he is not above on-court sabotage. He's done off-court sabotage. But you said it, the fat suit. Dude will just let himself get fat and play slow and still be healthy. And you're like, oh, I guess we got to put him out there again. That's so freaking loathsome. So there's more, right, Alex? We were talking about other stars.
Yeah, I got one for you.
Tell me.
Jaren Jackson Jr. got traded today. What about his teammate, Ja Morant?
I have no interest.
I don't want
none.
I have zero interest in signing up for Ja Morant, who just doesn't get it on a behavioral level. He just doesn't. How about Zion Williamson? Let's add him to that pile.
I'd be more likely to give it a go with Zion, even question like some of the questionable stuff that he does off the floor, than Ja, because maybe neither guy gets it. Maybe that's the conclusion. But I feel like how many people that have tried to mentor him, and he kind of still doesn't get it, and the way that he's been acting this year down in Memphis. And it's sad to me because that grindhouse gang that they had down there, that whoop that trick gang that they had down there in Memphis, like, it's just all gone. Like, all of it's gone now. And it happened super quick. And you're sitting there going, hey, here's a combination of Allen Iverson and Derrick Rose. Here he is. He's playing point guard in Memphis. And it's just never quite gotten to where you want it to be.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. It hasn't. So you got to pick the right star. It's not just about go get a star. You got to pick the right one, and that's the right kind of player who makes teammates better and raises the level, man. Like, I watched that Luka Doncic game and watched the whole thing. I know, dude, he finished with 30, 15, and 8.
Yeah, I'm going to put up with that.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's the star stuff that I can put up with.
Okay.
I can put up with a little bit of flop, a little bit of him complaining and fast breaks going the other way, because I know that I have a top five player in the league.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's like, he is so selfish and so whiny and so about him that by the end of that game, none of those other Lakers, except LeBron James, were playing invested basketball. None. I watched it happen, and that's what we heard happen in Dallas, and we have seen it happen in L.A. They're just like good players, like Rui Hachimura, all of a sudden just standing there going like, well, I'm not involved. I'm not going to do anything. And that translates on defense, and they just got absolutely rolled by a Knicks team, and I watched their wills just evaporate, and he's part of that.
My argument against you calling Lucas selfish is that he's averaging 9 assists a game. Like, his game can be an all-in type situation because he draws so much attention. It's like, for me,
he's putting up numbers, though.
He's putting up great numbers
and plays no defense and no team concept.
That's true. But he puts up incredible numbers for your team. And he takes a lot of pressure off because he can go get it. Like, if you need a bucket, he can go get you a bucket. And I know that James Harden can do that, too. But James Harden's at the end.
Yeah, no, Lucas should be right in the middle. I hear you, and I know that you said yesterday you'd sign up for five years of Luka right now.
Luka cold, man. He's just cold. His game is cold. And I would love to see that. Obviously, that's not happening.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying. Like, it's easy for us in this job or a fan to be like, hey, you got to get a star.
Right. So imagine if you're a front office and you're like, I'm not just going to sell out for any star.
Yeah.
I got to wait for the right one. Is Giannis the right one? Because, again, something has changed at the United Center. Something has changed in Bulls offices based on what the last few years have been, what the rhetoric has been, what their desires have been, what they're willing to accept. And I don't know if it's a light bulb going off for AK. I don't know if it's ownership green lighting something they've wanted to do. Or is it internal knowledge that Giannis wants to be here?
Maybe it is. I'll tell you another layer to the Giannis thing that worries me, and you know that this is a thing with me. Calf strain.
Oh, sure.
Don't like it.
Yeah.
Don't like that at all.
You're sensible to not like it. Calf strains lead to Achilles of late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and he knows that. That's why he's sitting out. That's why he himself announced after that game, what, a week and a half ago? Yeah, this is going to be 4 to 6 weeks. He said it.
And I'm going to take all of that time that I need to get myself right.
And that goes through the trade deadline. I mean, so that's his soft way of telling you it's over, that it's over up there. I think Giannis is getting dealt before Thursday.
I think you're probably right.
It's craziness.
I guess I'd sign up for Giannis, too. It's just like the calf strain thing scares me a lot. Because then you're paying, what is he making, $63 million a year?
All of the millions.
He's making all of the money. And
you'd sign up for that, though, right?
I think so.
Man, that's crazy.
I think I would.
You're worried about the body or worried about
this? I'm not worried. Like, the other stuff is just,
It comes with the territory of some people.
But the amount of mileage that he's put on his body, because of the way that he plays all out all the time. And I love that about his game.
Mm-hmm.
I always worry when any basketball, and pretty much any athlete, but when any basketball player is like, I have a pretty serious calf strain.
Yeah.
Because that usually leads to an Achilles tear, and you're gone for a year and a half.
Scott in Oak Park says, Speegs, WTF, man. Luka took a mediocre Mavs team to the finals. That is bankable star stuff. He did, along with Kyrie Irving, who was playing out of his mind at that time and was a really, really good partner in a different way than LeBron, a different kind of player. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I understand why Dallas decided not to want to be in the Kyrie business, in the Luka business.
Let's go out to San Francisco and let's check in on the Super Bowl. Carmen Vitale joins us next here on The Score.
Breaking Bulls news. Nikola Vucevic has been traded. The youth movement continues for the Bulls. Keep it here as we continue to cover this trade by the Bulls and discuss what it means for the team on 104.3 The Score, official radio home of the Bulls, and live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment is brought to you by Staples.
Beagle and Holmes Show Flashback.
Carmen Vitale. Woo. The people on Twitch call themselves the Twitch Mob.
Right, okay.
And so I suggested to the mob that you be the mob boss.
It's St. Peter, my family's saint. Now, as that card burns, so may your soul burn in hell if you betray your friends and the family.
Instead of the mob wife, okay. I figured you could be the Twitch mob boss.
Does nobody have that?
No one has that title.
Give me that title.
All right.
What can I do for you?
Well, you can introduce me to the boss.
You can talk to me.
Woman boss.
People are very happy inside the mob that you have agreed to be the mob boss.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Mob boss, LFG.
What's it like? Working for a woman.
What are you going to do?
A woman boss.
In America, you know that.
Folks are ready to bend the knee and kiss the ring inside of the mob.
Hey! Oh. There he is. Let me kiss the ring.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Hey, come.
Afternoons on the Score.
Let's go out to Super Bowl 60. Radio Row, our friend Carmen Vitale is out there. She joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. The boss has arrived. What's up, Carmy V?
I need to know how much fun Tanny had making that intro, because I was laughing through the whole thing. This is incredible, guys. Thanks.
That is right where he lives, where he can just dump into all of the gangster knowledge that he has and Sopranos bumps that he's been trying to use to make things work. So we are happy for you.
Yeah, actually, in today's Open, Lorraine Bracco appeared twice, once in Sopranos, once in Goodfellas. It's amazing. It's amazing. He makes the most of his palate, that's for damn sure. Carmen, can you please paint us a picture of Radio Row? Because we're not there and we're jealous.
Well, this year is really interesting. So it's at one of the San Francisco Convention Center, and it's a little bit more condensed than I've ever experienced Radio Row being. Like, we are on top of, or even like the big sets are on top of each other. So I'm at Fox Sports Radio's set where we're going to be doing our show tomorrow. And like, we're right next door to FanDuel, which is doing their shows in the morning. I think Madden's on the other side of that. And then you've got front office sports, you got Bleacher Report, like all these guys around the perimeter are just incredibly on top of each other. And then there's no walkways in the pit, which is interesting. Wow. So you feel like you're kind of dodging cameras, but it's getting busy in here.
Who have you seen? My favorite interview I ever did on Radio Row was with the Burger King himself and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. That's a highlight of my radio life. What kind of people have you been running into out there?
Seen a lot of players. So I've seen, I've seen Fred Warner, saw CeeDee Lamb, Kendrick Bourne was just over at our set. There's a hierarchy of days, right? At Super Bowl media day or Super Bowl Radio Row, where like Thursday is the biggest day. Wednesday is the second biggest day. So like Tuesday probably falls maybe after Wednesday and before Friday, or maybe you interchange Friday and Tuesday. So like, you don't have like the A-listers here yet, but you're walking around, you're seeing some players and coaches and all that.
So we saw that, and we had talked about it while you were here, that Declan Doyle may end up getting a job. He ends up getting a job with Baltimore, where he's going to be allowed to call plays. What have you heard, and what do you think about this being a thing?
Yeah, I think you and I talked about it, Lawrence, where I was like, I think it's always beneficial for you to learn under someone like Ben Johnson. And I thought that that was kind of a foregone conclusion. And then lo and behold, you get the opportunity to call plays for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. I mean, I think that's going to be incredible for Declan. And it really was those that are looking at guys that you could have possibly had leave this coaching staff in Chicago. Not to say that obviously Declan was a huge part of a lot of the administrative stuff, some of the logistical stuff that Ben Johnson had to do as the offensive coordinator, but he's obviously not the play caller. So you're not, the impact of Declan Doyle leaving, I think, is minimized by that. But the fact that he is getting to go for a promotion, and honestly, kudos to the Bears, who that technical promotion, because he's going offensive coordinator to offensive coordinator, but they let him go anyway, especially when they kind of got screwed over with the comp picks for Ian Cunningham. And, you know, they operated, though, and they did what was best for Declan to let him kind of grow in his career. And I think that's cool.
That's a real thing, right? Coaches being supportive of their assistants and wanting them to get that next job. And that reputation matters around the league, doesn't it?
It does. And if you're Johnson, where you don't come from the major coaching tree that's in the NFL and you're a head coach, you have to fill out a staff. You want to make sure that you have a Rolodex of guys that want to come work for you, especially if you keep winning, you're going to keep losing guys.
Speaking of that major coaching tree, salute or Nepo babies or maybe not, because they're all talented, surely. But Matt LaFleur was at Mike LaFleur's introductory presser. Your thoughts on the Flowers getting a chance to hang out together?
Flowers. I looked at it and I saw it and I was like, that's kind of weird. And then I was like, wait. Was John Harbaugh at Jim Harbaugh's? And I was like, yeah, okay, the Harbaugh brothers kind of do that with each other, so maybe it shouldn't be weird. But also, Matt LaFleur was like showing as much personality as I've ever seen him show with the Arizona media when he's talking about his brother. I was like, oh, okay, sure, yeah. Like, just telling stories and holding court with the Arizona media. And I'm like, man, I wonder how the reporters in Green Bay feel right now.
That's interesting. I get it. It's your brother, and you're happy for him, but that's interesting. Were you able to find, did a Harbaugh attend something with a Harbaugh? Do they do that?
Yeah, I think John went to Jim's opening or like introductory press conference in Los Angeles when he took over the Chargers.
I think
and
you're right.
You've seen them kind of support each other when one's in the playoff and one's not. And like you've seen that, but it's just, I don't know, it's weird.
So the story came out earlier today that our friend Justin Fields turned down an opportunity to go to the Pro Bowl, which makes sense for a guy that clearly understands how things will be perceived. He was not very good, and then he got benched. And then because the AFC has a bunch of injured quarterbacks and a quarterback that's going to the Super Bowl, they didn't really have a lot of options. So you ask Justin Fields, and he says no, and then you go to Shedeur Sanders, and Shedeur says yes, because there's no downside to Shedeur being a part of this. He ideally is a player that's on the rise. That being said, none of this is a good look for the Pro Bowl, Carmen.
It's honestly sad. Guys, I'm just like, how far have we fallen? When I grew up with the Pro Bowl in Hawaii, and like it was a real game that guys tried in. It had implications. It does have implications even now, where guys have incentives built into their contracts and get bonuses for making the Pro Bowl. And I'm just like, I don't know that we can feel good about doing that anymore, or structuring contracts in that way, because what does it even mean at this point? I get that Justin Fields didn't want it to be perceived in a certain way, but I'm also like, you turning it down also sends a message too. So like either way, you've been kind of put in a no-win scenario at that point. But I have to think that there has to be some changes coming. Either make the Pro Bowl more legit, or I guess just get rid of it, because there's literally, you can't be having contract incentives depending on this game now, not even game, like these, they were doing a golf simulator yesterday, guys. Like, what are we doing?
We are trying to keep alive the idea and specter of a game, an exhibition game, in a sport that just doesn't lend itself to it. Like, just announce the rosters, and then you can keep your roster bonuses and all that stuff if you want. Just announce the rosters. Don't make participation part of it, because then you get down to offering Shedeur and Joe Flacco.
And Justin Fields.
And getting Justin Fields to say no. It's pathetic. Have you walked over to where they're doing this thing? It's tonight, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know. It's tonight on television. Have you walked over and seen that thing?
I'm actually sad at the corgi races at Pro Bowl. I'm not sad I'm not going to be there for the actual Pro Bowl games. I'm just sad I missed the corgi races that just happened.
Oh, that would be cute.
I've been on Radio Row doing other things, so.
There were corgi races?
I know, there were such corgis over there.
Those are dogs.
There were corgi races. You can't pet the police dogs here. So, I would have loved my little dog fix, but I didn't get that. So that's okay. No, I won't be over there. Everything's also kind of spread out. Like opening night last night was all the way in San Jose. I didn't even land in time to have gotten on a shuttle to get 2 hours down there in traffic. It's been a little bit of a logistical nightmare over here.
First world
problems, though, guys. I'm at a Super Bowl.
It is first world problems, but this is something to keep in mind, by the way. If your team does move and then they get a Super Bowl, but they don't do most of the stuff in the place where the team moves to, people would rather be in the place where the team used to be, because it's a real city.
What are you talking about, Lawrence?
I don't know, Carmen.
There's no way that would apply to anybody in Chicago.
Nope, not
at
all.
That's not a thing that would apply.
Nope. You cover the NFC North and have done so for a really long time. How do you feel about what happened when Kwesi Adofo-Mensah?
So I think that there are justifications to be had for why perhaps it was time to move on. The justification that I don't accept is when it happened. I think that it just came off so reactionary because Sam Darnold's now in the Super Bowl, and it just kind of reeked of like, all right, no, we're doing this now. And it's like, you had a plan. And again, I think you could have warranted it. You could have warranted moving on, but doing it at the timing, with the timing that they did, it just signals to me that it was reactionary. And we've seen quite a bit of that in this coaching cycle and throughout the NFL, where decisions are being made based on one game or based on one event. And these franchises don't necessarily have a plan in place. So, if you look at the draft classes in Minnesota, like there are reasons to have moved on from Kwesi, but I can't get past the timing, guys. I really can't.
I'm going to have my 14-year-old son watch the Pro Bowl thing tonight. Carmen,
as a punishment?
I just want to see what he thinks. I mean, it is flag football in a conference center, you know, like you're near where it is. This thing is so bizarre. And because what they've done, the ceilings are 37 feet high. Here's the quote. Quarterbacks are, quote, going to have to adapt their throws, unquote, in this game. It's unbelievable.
It makes no sense either. I mean, I guess I don't even know where you'd put it, because San Francisco obviously has a ton of people. And
on a field, field somewhere, I think.
What's keeping you? Yeah, like what's keeping you from putting it on a field? I don't really know. And everything like over there is just draped in like these black curtains, and it's like sectioned off. And there's like, again, there was a golf simulator and like other stuff like that. And I'm like, this looks so bush league, guys. And again, if you're from the era that we are of like watching the Pro Bowl from Hawaii on TV and thinking like, when I was a kid growing up, I was like, oh my God, it'd be so cool to cover a Pro Bowl in Hawaii. That's all I want to do. I want to report on a Pro Bowl from Hawaii and like, you know, the game and get to be a part of the pomp and circumstance. And now I'm just like, I've barely gone over there. I'm just like, I know we're next door. I'm not going over there.
Well, Carmen, we appreciate you jumping on from Radio Row. Have fun with your show with Alex. You guys have a good time out there. Enjoy the week out there in San Francisco / San Jose / Santa Clara.
Guys, I've already had my first batch of Bounty wings, chicken wings. So we're going strong already. It's gonna be a good week.
I love it. All right, Carmen,
thanks,
we'll talk
Carmen.
To you. That is the Twitch mob boss, Carmen Vitale.
So the Pro Bowl is basically in like McCormick Place. That's where it's in a place that's called the Moscone Center. Hey, oh,
Moscone Center. Yeah,
hey,
how you doing? I've been there. Okay, I can do the voice because I've been there.
Okay, the Moscone Center, but they have an 80-foot by 65-yard Pro Bowl field, or 80-yard by 65-yard. They put it inside this place with 37-foot-high ceilings. Are there going to be any punts in this game?
It's a flag football game,
I know,
though, right?
Like,
aren't those that's the regulation for a flag football field?
And they're trying to show you that you can do flag football to different game than tackle
football. It's
going
to be in the Olympics.
I have enjoyed it when I've watched it.
It's good.
It is kind of cool, and you can see the players and stuff. So I'm actually, yes, going to watch it tonight.
That's kind of amazing that they were able to fit this into that facility, because it's not huge like McCormick Place. Like, the main level is, like, not that big. Maybe it's more of an indictment on the media entities that are not there. They all of a sudden have the room to fit a flag football field in there.
Let's watch tonight, or at least me and Ruben will watch tonight.
You can watch.
All right, I'll take care of that for you.
You guys watch. We'll report.
All right, well, you can watch Bulls-Bucks and see if Giannis switches teams during the game.
I'm going to do that and watch Rod Strickland get his jersey retired with DePaul tonight.
I love that that's happening.
Me too.
That guy was a full-on, just what a brilliant ball handler and passer to watch.
One of the best players that made me love basketball.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I can see that. One of the best handles I've ever seen, right?
Which makes sense considering who his godson is.
He's the godfather of Kyrie Irving.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah. So if you talk to Rod, you ask him if the earth is flat, all right?
I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, what would you need in a contract conversation to bring it home if you were a baseball player? I think more American baseball players need to put this into their demands. We'll explain how the White Sox bent the knee next here on The Score.
The Score is officially live on the FM dial. A new era of sports radio has begun in Chicago.
3, 2, 1.
Damn it! The
switch is flipped!
Wow!
John Vincent.
And the home of the
to 104.3 The Score, powered by the official sports book of The Score, Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be, with no bet fees.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. New teeth, new smile, new you. Save up to 95% at AlmostFreeTeeth.com, because confidence should never cost a fortune.
My name is Munetaka Murakami. Call me Mune.
Yes,
I'm happy to be in Chicago. Yes.
That is Munetaka Murakami, the Japanese slugger, who the White Sox signed to a very manageable contract, a 2-year deal. I think Murakami is going to end up being one of the better economic bargains of the entire cycle, in part because they ought to be able to sell a lot of jerseys. So think about that. Like the
You're thinking about it just like for the coffers of the White Sox.
100%.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific investment in that way. And look, if he can make some contact, he's going to hit a lot of bombs and bring some joy, you know? So it should be...
Before he becomes a Dodger.
I was going to say, he's going to become a beloved Sox player and then walk out the door in 2 years.
Maybe they're smart enough to trade him before that.
You never know.
That would be the... That's what everyone thinks is going to happen.
Well, you know, we'll see. Either way, they signed him and landed him, and I think it's going to be kind of cool to watch him this year. But that's not why we're talking about Munetaka Murakami.
I love this. Scott Merkin wrote about it on WhiteSox.com that one of the things that he asked for from the White Sox was a bidet. And that makes sense because in Japanese culture, like, that's a thing. And I'm glad that he asked for it. And I'm also glad, quite honestly, that the White Sox were like, yeah, we probably should have just done this. No, like it didn't have to be a Japanese player.
Yeah.
For them to be like.
Yeah, because the American players are thrilled. I think Sean Burke tweeted, like, he's like, yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, hold on. When Roky Sasaki picked the Dodgers.
Yeah, that was part of it.
Yeah, 100%. And the Dodgers went out and replaced every toilet they had in the players' clubhouse with those modern fancy toilets like my brother has. I used one the other night. They replaced every toilet. Are the White Sox replacing every toilet, or are they just giving Munetaka Murakami his own private toilet?
I don't know if he has, I don't think that he has his own throne. I think that this is.
Everybody should get one.
Yeah, hopefully.
They're like $25.
Yeah, no 10 and 5 not. Rights and no bidet rights so far.
Yeah, you can get them on Amazon. They're
shout out to
cheap.
Mully, by the way. Mully reminding the audience this morning from a Chicago Magazine article from 20 years ago that Tadahito Iguchi used to bring his own bidet from home, like an electric one from home,
yes.
And he used that.
That is amazing.
What a great pull.
That is a that is journalism. That is, give that man a Lissagor. I'm sorry, Lawrence, you don't win one this year. Mully for his bidet, his cleansing. You might, but I mean, Mully is my leader in the clubhouse right now.
All right, so remember how I was telling you, Tanny, to make sure that we spotlight Speaks for our entry? You can go ahead and 86 that. I'll pick something
on
where it's me and Carmen instead.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
That was... Lawrence, I was just being playful.
I am not unupsettable. How about that?
Oh, I know.
Unbotherable, right? Which is the correct terminology?
I didn't mean anything by that, Lawrence. I was just having a little fun.
Oh, well, it's already done now.
I thought there could be more than one Lissagor.
What right? I think is really cool, though, is that they are going to replace the shower in the outfield with a bidet for everyone. It's really catching on.
That's awesome. You just get to walk the concourse, have some rainbow cone, and then take off your pants and settle in. Remember when Andy the Clown used to use the bidet out there?
Hey, here's the thing about it, and we're joking about it because it's toilet humor, and we should joke about toilet humor every now and
then. I think so, too. But cleansing is important.
Yes, well, let's not call it cleansing. Let's say the cleanliness of it. Like, if you're going to do all of the other things that are going to optimize a player... then why not allow for them to be as clean as they want to be before or after they take the field?
I'm going to be honest. Takes some getting used to, and I don't necessarily love it on the regular. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, look, got Crohn's disease, so it's a big part of my life.
Yeah, so does the bidet get do you have one at home?
I have several.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So there you go. So you think that more than just Japanese players ought to put this in their contracts?
Yes.
And try to make that happen.
I think that, I imagine that like Sean Burke, there are going to be a lot of players who are like, I have not been living right. And then they're like, this is a lot better. A lot better.
A texter wondering about the Murakami bidet bobblehead.
Brooks already wrote it down, man. Brooks already. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about it.
I couldn't even get it out.
I just hope we don't see the bidet at the Sox Charities garage sale in 2 years.
No.
I hope it's there for a long time.
Away.
Oh my God, Chuck Garfine is showing off a line of bidets. No, we don't have bidets at the Score. You think really? I mean, we got FM. FM should mean bidets, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
104.3 The Score.
Yep.
That's where we are. You're listening to 104.3 The Score. WSCR, WSCR FM, HD1 and HD2 Chicago. Just gave you legal ID right there. You can use that.
And actually in the window, so it actually works. It counts.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how we get professional around here.
Something like that. When we come back, let's talk about something that we got into yesterday, now with some context from Roger Goodell.
Mm-hmm.
The hiring practices that have gone on, and the more I've thought about it and sat with it over the last day, the more angry I am about the Bears not getting the compensatory picks.
All right, good. I want to hear that, and I want to hear Roger. I've just heard about it. I haven't heard it yet. Roger did not do a good job handling these questions, supposedly, yesterday.
He never does, and yet no one really seems to care. We'll explain, and we'll let you hear from Roger next on The Score.
Hey, Cubs fans, Pat Hughes
and Ron Coomer here. This Cubs season, you'll now be able to listen to the Cubs in crystal clear FM quality on 104.3 The Score.
Hey, it's Craig Counsell.
This is Alex Bregman.
Hey, Cubs fans, this is Pete Crow Armstrong.
It's got a chance!
Imagine listening to all the action on FM. Cubs baseball has never sounded this good. Listen to every game on your home of the Cubs. 104.3 The Score.
Presented by the official sports book of The Score. Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be, with no bet fees.
The big game is here, and it's time to elevate your game with Circa Sports. Circa Sports isn't just sports betting. It's sports betting the way it should be, with no bet fees ever. The big game requires a big betting menu, and Circa Sports Illinois has you covered. From player props to game scenarios, Circa Sports has it all, including our fan favorite Circa Squares menu. Instead of picking your big game squares randomly, choose your numbers and place your bets. Visit CircaSports.com to download your new bookie today. Circa Sports, the official sports book of The Score, must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.